evangelism is not something I'm doing. It's who I am. And I thought, I don't want to do things for Jesus. I want to do things with Jesus.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today. So I'm sitting on the back deck in the middle of summer in Michigan watching crew staff training. You weren't there.
I wasn't there.
I don't know where you were, but I was sitting out there with my iPad and I'm watching remote, and they introduced this woman from Penn State. She's a professor, PhD. She's going to speak. I've never heard of her. I'm like, should I watch this? I don't know. Do I have time? And she starts her message. And 15 minutes later, I'm crying.
Wow.
Because God was speaking through her in a powerful way to my identity as an evangelist. Mm. Do you remember me telling you? I'm like, you have to watch this right now.
I remember coming home, you walked in and you said, you have got to listen to this woman. She is right up our alley. She is talking about things that resonate with our hearts and everyone's hearts.
Yeah, and really with God's heart.
Yeah.
And I texted Jim, our producer, I mean, immediately, we have to get Heather Holloman on Family Life Today. And guess what? She's sitting
here
in the studio right now.
I'm so excited to be here. I'm having a great time already. That was a nice little introduction to me. No pressure. This great talk.
Yeah, no pressure. You just got to deliver like you did on the stage.
That's right.
That day. But Dr. Heather Holloman. Mm-hmm.
And you teach?
I teach advanced writing. I know this sounds very nerdy, but advanced, really essay writing and professional development. But I'm working with the Schreyer Honors College now. So it's a lot of curriculum development to help these high-achieving students succeed.
Well, I think one of the reasons, you know, I was in tears watching, and I've watched it several times since and shown it to almost everybody in our family, and I'd love to hear your perspective on this, because you were talking about your call as not just a woman and a professor, but God's call on you as a woman of God to share the truth, share the gospel with others. And I know as a pastor, and I probably my number one spiritual gift would be evangelism. I just, if there's a group of Christians and a group of non-Christians standing, I'm always going to run to the non-Christian group. I want to share the gospel with them. I relate to them. I want to just love these guys. And something was hitting me when you were speaking about my life at this point. Mm. I'm sitting often in a studio like we are today, surrounded by Christians, which is awesome. It's wonderful. And I was like resonating with, I need to be out in the streets. I need to be, you know, where I've often in my life. So I felt this.
Yeah.
Are you still on fire to share the gospel? Because you told story after story how God had used you. So I'd love you to share, not that message, but the heart of that sent identity and what you do as a professor, because it was so cool to hear that you don't stand in front of students every day and just teach.
Right.
You have a bigger call than that.
Well, yes. Maybe where did that passion come from, Heather?
Well, I always knew that I had a gift of evangelism. That's one of the reasons my husband, Ashley, co-wrote the book with me, because he claims he doesn't have this supernatural gift, but he does the work of an evangelist empowered by the Holy Spirit, and God uses him so powerfully. He led our 85-year-old neighbor to the Lord and discipled him during COVID. But I love talking about Jesus. So when I enter a room, the first question I have in my mind is, who here doesn't yet know Jesus? It's just something the Holy Spirit does. But what happened is I was reading the book of John, and I noticed that the number one way Jesus describes the Father in the book of John is the Father who sent me. And as someone who loves vivid verbs, you know, as a writer, I just kept looking at that word, you know, okay, Jesus understood his identity as sent. And then when in John 20, 21, when he says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you, I just really was overwhelmed with, you know, evangelism is not something I'm doing. It's who I am. And I thought, I don't want to do things for Jesus. I want to do things with Jesus. Mm. And what is Jesus doing? He is building a kingdom for himself. And that's where the talk was really about the three core principles that if you believe them, your life is going to be a supernatural adventure. And the principles are easy, that God is always at work to draw people to himself, that for whatever reason, he uses people to lead others to Jesus. And he's continually inviting us into that work every single day. That was the talk. And it was the stories of me really believing it's no accident where God has placed me in the classroom, praying for students, being available when they want to talk about the Lord. You know, it is not an easy environment, obviously, the college campus. But I find that when I tell students I'm a Christ follower, they're really curious and they think it's a bold statement and they'll start sharing their lives with me. So I think it's important to identify that I'm a Christian as soon as I can to students.
So you do that early in the semester?
I used to do it later in the semester because I wanted students that may have a preconceived idea about Christians, that they're hateful or too conservative. I wanted to kind of prove my love to them first and then tell them I was a Christian. And often they'd be surprised. Like, we can't believe you're a Christian. You're so nice to us, is what one student said. But this semester, I told them really early on, and it's been great. I thought, you know, that maybe there'd be hostility, but I've only experienced students being really curious or saying, I'm so glad you said that. I've been nervous to tell people I'm a Christian on campus.
What's that sound like when you tell people, like, what do you say in the classroom?
It's easy because I teach professional development. So we were talking about resumes and cover letters. And I just said to my students, sometimes when you're writing a resume, you may be hesitant to include things that you really care about, like your religious involvements, or maybe you're involved in a church or a club. But I said, in my own life, I like to let people know that I am a Christ follower. I follow, you know, I was very clear. Yeah. I follow Jesus. I love talking about Jesus. And so that's something I include in my professional portfolio. And, you know, they were dead silent. And then they want to know about it. They're interested. And a student came up to me and said, you know, I've sort of forgotten about my faith in college. Where do you go to church? Those kind of things. So, and I love just the authenticity of it. There's nothing wrong with identifying who you are in front of students. So I love that. And the talk was also about sent people not only have a rich theology of place, so your neighborhood, your classroom, the gym, but you become people of prayer, and then you get to see divine activity as you pray for people. I ended the talk talking about asking great questions and sharing great stories of your own personal transformation.
I want to hear some of those stories.
Okay, right now.
Yeah, well, I'm like, oh, tell us.
My favorite story right now, which I do have permission to share, is I have a dear colleague who, you know, likes to say that she's an atheist, and it's very important to her that, you know, we know that she's an atheist. We're really good friends. I love talking to her. She likes to hear what I'm learning from the Bible. And it's just amazing. But one of the things I prayed early on was, God, please send others to help. That's something, you know, Paul prays. There are all sorts of ways you can pray. I list 7 of them in my sent book. But I say, God, would you please send other people to help me here with this professor? I can't be the only Christian that she knows. And I had no idea that God would answer that prayer by sending students into her office. So she calls me in and she says, Heather, you're just going to giggle. I was like, why am I going to giggle? She said, I had a student that came into my office and said, I'll call her Dr. S. She said, I believe that it's end times. I'm a Christian and I think the end of the world is coming because of COVID and all this stuff. And this professor says, well, if you're a Christian and you think the world is ending, aren't you guys supposed to read the book of Revelation? And the student said, I've never read the book of Revelation. That's a good idea. So this professor said, I haven't read the book of Revelation. What if I studied it with you? So she has Bible study every Friday with this student. And And then when I was at staff training, when I was at, you know, Crew 22, I got a phone call when I was walking around Milwaukee, and she said it happened again. And I said, what do you mean? She said a student came into my office wanting to understand the Christian faith. And the professor said, well, if you're trying to understand the Christian faith, aren't you guys supposed to read the book of John? And the student said, yes. And this professor said, well, I'll study the book of John with you. So I said, Dr. S, you are in 2 Bible studies. You know that everyone is praying for your salvation at this point. So I like that story of just the divine activity of when you have people in your life that you really want them to know Jesus or return to Jesus, you're not alone. You can ask God to send others to help. you know, Jesus said that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, you know, ask the Lord of the harvest. So, and just, you know, stories like that abound. There's all sorts of opportunities and people, mostly because of the spiritual language I use, they'll come up to me and say, you know, I've heard you talk about God. You know, a prominent woman in our town said, I hear you say that word. And she said, who is God and how can I know him?
Wow. This is a great conversation. And before we continue, I just want to remind our listeners, we know life is full of challenges and families today need biblical truth more than ever. Isn't that true?
That is true.
And as a family life partner, your monthly gift helps bring the truth into homes every single day through podcasts, events, and resources.
So let's make a lasting difference together. Become a partner today. Just go to familylifetoday.com and click the donate button. Heather, literally after listening to your message and your sent identity, it reminded me of a story. And I preached recently at a church and I told the story and I said, this is coming off of a message I heard from Heather Holloman. So I gave you credit, but I was coaching high school football where my three sons played football. I wanted to be there with my sons and also impact young men. And it's a long story, but I'll try and tell as fast as I can. And I'm a pastor in this area, so they know me as a pastor. And the head coach wanted me to help coach, and he said, you can even do a chapel service on Thursdays for the boys. So
wow.
I'm at a public high school. The whole team comes every Thursday. It's awesome. It's like peer pressure to go to chapel. And so I get to talk about the gospel every Thursday night with these kids. And I got a buddy of mine who played college football to be with me. I'm like, I need a brother in this coaching room that knows Christ. So Rob and I are the two Christians. And let me tell you, that coaching room was wild. These guys are just great guys and I love them all. And we go undefeated. And every night on Friday after the game, the whole coaching staff would go to this bar and drink and talk about the game. Rob and I never went because we're like, we probably shouldn't go there.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a place where Christians should go. And we're on like week 10. Ann's dad comes up, who's my high school coach, to watch our son play. His grandson, and we go home after the game, and he goes, hey, so what do all the coaches do? He was a high school coach. What do all the coaches do after game? I go, oh, they all go to RJ's, and they party, and they talk about the game. He goes, why aren't you there?
Oh.
And I go, well, Rob and I don't go, because, you know, we're like, that's probably not a place where we should go. And my non-churched, non-Christian father-in-law says, well, aren't you trying to reach those guys for Jesus?
Right.
Well, yeah. And he goes, well, I think that's probably where you and Rob should be. And I look at him like, you're right.
Yeah,
I call Rob on the
phone.
Rob, I'm coming over right now. We're going to RJ's. He goes, what? I go, I'll tell you later. I pick him up. We're driving there. I go, let's pray.
Mm.
Let's pray God does something. We walk in the bar. The entire bar stands up and gives us a standing ovation.
Oh, my goodness. They just love that you were there.
Yeah,
that
I mean,
so much
the
to
coaches
them.
All look over at us, and these people in the bar are like, who are these guys? Why is everybody clapping? Anyway, long story short, I sit down beside our special teams coach, Jack, and they're all drinking their beer, and I get my Diet Coke, and 15 minutes in, Jack turns to me. When you said the aroma, the fragrance, and he goes, I got to ask you something. I go, what? He goes, I've been watching you.
Mm.
He goes, you never cuss.
Wow.
Not one time have I heard you cuss. Why don't you cuss?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, we all cuss every play and practice. You never do. Why not?
That's awesome.
And I said, well, I've been washing the blood of Jesus. And I went, no, I didn't say that.
Yeah, nobody knows what that means.
I mean, long story short, I just said, well, Jack, you know, I believe the tongue's an extension of your heart. And what comes out of my mouth is really what's going on in my heart. And my heart's been transformed by Jesus.
Wow.
In fact, he's the one that said that. That's why. I said, I'm not perfect. There have been many times, but I'm very careful about that. All I got to tell you is we went back every Friday night because we kept winning all the way to the state finals. And 6 weeks later, Jack gave his life to Christ.
See, I just love that.
You know, it's just
I just love that.
That sin identity. It's like wherever you are, God's got a reason for you to be there.
Exactly.
Open your eyes and see what's happening.
How is your faith ignited? Like, what are you doing personally? You're like on fire for Jesus.
I mean, the answer is really simple. So probably everyone's like, oh, we know that. But it's really reading God's word and connecting with him every day. I really take seriously the habit of connecting with the Lord and having a prayer journal. And it's not hours, you know, it might only be a half hour before work. But I tell the Lord the things I'm thankful for. I write down the names of five people that I'm praying for that don't know him, that I know I'm going to see that day. And I like praying the same things that Paul does, that God would give them a spirit of revelation. And I love that from Psalm 119, where the priest says, you know, let not my heart be drawn to what is evil. I pray that for people. I read God's word. I mean, we know that it's God's word that is at work in people. And I love Romans 10, that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. The other reason to spend time in God's word is whatever I learn that day, I love telling people throughout the day.
Me too.
As a great evangelism strategy, I'll say, I just read something really great in the Bible. May I share it with you? Nobody says no. Nobody has said no. And it also gives me something to text my girls, my daughters, because I don't want to always be talking about Jesus with them in a way that makes them feel bad, like that they need to perform for me or do anything. But with kids, I really do love sharing something joyful that I read in scripture with them. So,
you know, as a family ministry, you're a wife and a mom. How does this sin identity, how do you transfer that? How do you teach that? How is it lived in your marriage and in your home? Help parents understand how we can do this.
Since we live in a neighborhood, probably the most important thing is to let the whole family know that we have sort of like a personal mission statement. We're there to bless neighbors and to pray that God would open their eyes and that they would come to faith. And so what we've done is all sorts of things. And I guess you could apply it to whatever situation you're in. But when they were little, we did a lot of gathering of the neighbors to bless them. We did neighborhood fitness groups. We had a walk to school campaign. We had Saturday morning pancakes. But then when the girls were teenagers, they did say that it felt too much, that we had too many people in our home all the time. So we did dial things back in the teenage years, but we still always made sure we had times where we were gathering and connecting with people who didn't know Jesus. Most recently, we did donuts and coffee in the driveway for the neighbors, and 40 neighbors came. 40
really?
To just have donuts. And I don't know if they knew it was a church event. We did it with another Christian couple. They took the lead on it. And then we all got the coffee and the donuts. But they know that we're churchgoers. They know that we, you know, love them. So it's a lot of acts of service. And the girls know that if someone's sick, I'm going to be making a meal. If someone's had a baby, I'm going to be making a meal, which is unusual for people who didn't grow up in church. The meal train idea, they don't know what that is. So when my husband did a Facebook group for during COVID so we could all connect, and when a baby was born, he said, let's do a meal train. Who would like to sign up to bring food? And this couple was like, what do you mean? People are going to bring us food? For how long? I was like, I don't know, 6 weeks? They were like, what is this? You bring food?
Are we in heaven?
Something that our church does, you know, and especially in the South, you know, people do that all the time. So weaving it into just the natural way that your family works. So almost like whatever we're doing, inviting people into that.
So you have to be so intentional because—
It's intentional, yes.
I mean, you're a professor. You have a full-time job.
Yes.
You're a mom. You're a wife. Your girls are busy. They're doing things. You're active in so many things. But this is a priority for your family.
It is, and it's also something spirit-filled. Like, I had to pray and ask God, like, I don't really know what will bless these neighbors. What is, what can I do that will not take a lot of their time? What's something they need to do anyway? That's where the walk to school idea came. I said, look, just bring your kids to the front of our house and we'll walk the mile instead of driving them in the minivan, because we were just outside of where the bus would pick up. Four people came to the Lord through that walk to school campaign. Part of it was I was walking with a professor who had converted to Hinduism. And I just said to her one day, you know, what does your tradition say about Jesus? You know, I'm a Christian. What does your tradition say about Jesus? And that single question led her to explore Christianity. And, you know, she prayed to receive Christ. She led her husband and children to the Lord. And it was all just in the context of neighborhood living. My most recent thing that I write about in the book Sent was doing I call it a soup and story night. We do a soup night on Monday nights. And I said, just come in your scrubs, you know, come in your work outfit and we'll have soup. Cause you know, it's cold all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I called it soup and story. Cause they would say, you know, what can we bring? And I would say nothing but a story about your day. I was researching the epidemic of loneliness. And I said to the neighbors when they came that night, I said, look, I'm lonely. You're lonely. We're going to be together. And one of the women at that around the table, she said, well, how do we begin? And she said, what if we all went around the table and you can either share a breakthrough, a breakup, or a breakdown? I'll go first. I'm breaking down. And she just needed to, she just needed to connect. And so there's all sorts of things you can do, but I did pray, like, what would help people? And I thought, you know, what if you did an hour dinner after? Nobody wants to cook dinner.
Yeah.
Have them stop by for an hour, get your bowl of soup, get some fresh homemade bread, tell me a story about your day, and then be off on your way. So that's our current thing that we're doing. And the fire pit. Don't forget the power of the fire pit.
I am so inspired. Are you?
Anne, are you going to start inviting some neighbors over for soup? I've got great recipes.
Yes.
A Thai carrot soup.
Ooh.
Well, also, you have to do food allergies. We got vegans. We got dairy-free. We got gluten-free. I had to learn so much about soup. Did you make all your soups, too? Homemade soups. You don't have to, but I did because that was part of the draw.
Yeah.
Like, come and get a nice... Because we have a lot of people that deeply care about health.
Yeah.
So I wanted... And I made the homemade bread. That took some time.
Yeah, I'm inspired. You know, I've taught this before, and I'm sure you're familiar with Jesus and the Beatitudes saying, you are the light of the world.
Yeah.
A city set on a hill cannot be hidden.
Right.
When you look at the original Greek of a city set on a hill, it literally means a city strategically placed on a hill. So he's getting at, they knew in those days, there were city planners. You didn't just throw a city up anywhere. They were put strategic places where people in the dark would find safety and refuge. And so I believe what Jesus was saying to his disciples is, just as a city isn't just randomly thrown anywhere, you aren't either. So what you're saying, I've always tried to understand, it's like where we live. I mean, we chose this house. You know, but God is saying, I placed you as the light in that cul-de-sac, in that apartment building. You're living that. So it's like every listener listening should be like, wait. So where I live isn't random? No. God's placing
you. Yes, Acts 17. He searches out the exact places. And it does make it a supernatural adventure at that point.
Yeah.
But back to your question about how to incorporate the kids, the other thing is to bring them into the prayer time of praying for neighbors and helping them realize that they can be agents of blessing in their school. So even say, do you have people that you would like to put in the prayer journal that we can pray for who are having a hard time? And that does help kids get less self-obsessed because teenagers, you know. So the prayer journal is really a powerful tool in a family. I love the prayer journal. I love just asking God for what we need and reflecting back at the end of the day.
And I love the idea as a family talking about this. How can we love our neighbors? How can we serve our neighbors?
Yes.
And what would that look like? And then to partner, because Jesus is all about that. Partnering with Jesus of asking him, like, Lord, what would be the best way for us to be, as you said, Dave, that light?
And I'm hoping that families, after listening to this broadcast today, are like, you know, let's have a conversation tonight. Mm-hmm. God's placed us here. We have a sent identity.
Right.
What can we do? Be creative. There'd be some new ideas, whether it's a fire pit or marshmallows in
football games.
Or football games.
My husband said to me, stop doing things for people and start doing things with people. So if you're really busy and you can't do one other event, ask yourself, what am I doing that I can invite other people into? And I thought, well, I'm walking to school every day. I make soup on Monday, you know, so, and we do watch football every Saturday. So, you know, invite people, make a little tailgate. So
I just want to note, I did not mention football.
I brought up the football.
Yeah, Heather you did.
Yeah.
It's always great to have Heather Holloman in the studio.
It is great.
She is full of energy and insight. And, I mean, the topic we talked about today is at the heart of family life. We want to help you and I make a dent where we're sent or an impact on your corner of the world. And that's what her book is all about. Her book is called Sent, Living a Life That Invites Others to Jesus. And you can get your copy today at familylifetoday.com. Just click on the link in the show notes.
We would love to pray for you. I would personally love to pray for you. And we even have a team at Family Life that can pray for you. Just go to familylife.com/pray for me.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported ministry of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.